work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to Rise with Love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode to assist you on your soulful journey. You may have chosen to rise with love because you've hit some form of rock bottom in your life. There was a voice in you that told you to get up and never give up on life. And I'm so glad you're here to listen to this podcast and have it as your biggest ally this lifetime. I really believe each and every single one of us has a powerful story. And I hope that one day you'll share yours and inspire others to rise with love also. Today, I'm really excited to introduce you to my special guest, Adriana from Big Little Talks with Adri. Her mission is to create the Garden of Eden on Earth by helping and guiding others to listen to their heart's voice. Now, you can tell why I'm excited to have this conversation. Adriana is an incredible, motivational, inspiring, spiritual teacher, and I just can't wait to dive into this conversation. So, a huge welcome, Adriana!
Thank you very much, Melissa. It's a great journey since we met, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be part of your journey as well. You know, we meet at the right times, and I believe that this is one of those times that we can just cherish them and hold hands together and collectively choose to race together with love, as you're saying. So it's great.
I love it. And I'm a huge advocate for understanding that we are all interconnected and the universe does bring us the people in our lives when we need it, when we're ready to heal or when we're ready to expand and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just been such a huge joy for me to see you rise into the incredible leader I know you've come here to be. So before we kind of dive into all the things that you do, I just want you to explain what the Garden of Eden looks like to you, because I just love your vision and I kind of just want us to melt into that moment and just feel into that energy. So what does that look like?
So the Garden of Eden is the best description of my world, my dream world, you see? I live in a place, and that's why I call it Garden of Eden, because it's a place of self-love. It's respect, it's light, it's connection, it's honesty, it's just beauty basically everywhere. And from that place, if I can help others and guide them to find their heart's voice, because everything lies inside you, in your heart, that's where it is. So if I can just guide them to get to a point where they can say, oh my God, I really feel that and I really want that and this is who I am and why didn't I know that? Well, because the world around you doesn't provide you with that. It's inside and you need to daydream. You need to be passionate. You need to look for that sparkle inside. So this is the Garden of Eden, where we hold the deepest desires and dreams and where we can go and say, okay, it's an explosion now. That's how I feel. But in today's world, we're not allowed to say those things because you have to fit a box, constantly fit a box. So why? How long are you going to do that? We're here to live a spectacular life. Why are we not?
I really totally agree. And part of the Rise with Love philosophy is always about leading from your heart, understanding that you are source energy. You've come here from an abundant universe, right? We do not fit in boxes. You know, we are not a one size fits all. We're all incredible, unique individuals. And I love that. You know, and we'll explore what you've talked about with the self-love and all of those kinds of things. I really resonate with your garden, and I hope that maybe in our lifetimes we will get to see the transition to us living in that way. But if not, I really feel we're anchoring that energy, and that gets me really excited.
We are giving to next generation something in their hands.
Yeah.
Which they already have, if you think about that, you know, but we have to guide them to get there. And as you're saying, yes, it's unconditional love. That's where it all starts. And I'm a huge dreamer. So basically that's where it comes from, you know, but we can teach others to dream, because when we came originally, we were dreamers. Everything was possible. We were free, you know. So through growing up, we learned how to suppress the dream, but we should go back to it. So
exactly, yeah. Right. And I know that you are such an advocate for the art of visualization and daydreaming, which you're just talking about now, which is amazing. So why do you think people hold back from fully allowing themselves to visualize and dream about what they truly want? Because I see this all the time. It's like, I'll tell my clients, this is going to happen for you and it's going to be amazing. And they're like, they can't happen for me. And I'm like, dude, of course it can happen for you. You know, anything is possible. So why don't people allow themselves to really dream?
That's a very good question. From my personal opinion and observation of all those humans who are struggling with that question, there is only one thing that stops them, I think, and that's fear. The fear is at the bottom of everything, but the fear doesn't necessarily have to be a real fear. We mostly create our fears from the past because we live in the past. We have emotions connected with the chemicals and also through experience. So that takes us back. Oh, it's not going to happen because do you remember what happened before in a situation like this? Or maybe it's going to be the same. Excuse me, you're in the present moment. That's a different situation. So do you want to happen exactly what happened back then? Or do you want to create a different scenario? It's all in you. So I think fear is one of the things that holds them back. And the second thing would be belief in themselves. They don't. And it comes from that place of Garden of Eden that we started talking, is to believe in yourself, you need to dream. You need to be playful. You need to be childish to enjoy things. And yes, you'll be silly at times, you know, it doesn't matter. This is part of the game, if you can call it that way, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of us, we want to dream of these things, but we kind of hold ourselves back because it's like, oh, well, that can't happen for me, or that's unrealistic of me. And I'm all about, you know, especially the more I've gone on this journey to rise with love, fully understanding we are from an abundant universe. We have infinite potential and possibilities. And so, you know, for you, Adriana, you are such an inspiration in allowing us to dream. What do you say to those people who are feeling that way of, I have to only dream of what's realistic and potentially possible for me?
Well, I can only say to them that if they don't allow to feel alive through those silly moments when they, let's say they're sitting at the table and having a good time, but they keep looking at their watch. Oh, tomorrow morning I have to take the kids to the games. I have to get up early. I can't have more wine. I can't sit any longer. Basically breaks, they're putting their brakes, which means the enjoyment will stop by recognizing the moment. What about you say, I have a great time. I'm gonna float into it and enjoy deeply, because out of those times and conversations and that joy, when you dive into it, you get so much out of it. Yes, you're gonna be tired the next morning. It's okay, you can deal with that. You've been there before, you know? But at least the joy, that the door you've opened for joy is huge. And that's going to lead you to more of those experiences. So I think people stop themselves. They let the thought run first, then the emotion. Because they were told when they were growing up that emotions are not good. Don't express emotion. Don't be who you really are. You might offend somebody. You might suffer. More negative thoughts, more breaks, you know? So that's it. Simple.
And I think, you know, we have all been there, right? I can visualize myself at the dinner table going, oh yeah, I've looked at, I don't wear a watch, but my phone going, oh my goodness, I like, can we eat faster because I've got to do this, or, you know, and sometimes we just are already in that failing mode of the future that hasn't even happened, right? And so what we're creating is completely the opposite of what we want, right? And I'd love for you to kind of explain, because I know you didn't get to be this wise with smooth sailing in life. So I want you to kind of explain the dark time that brought out this lion in you. And I just love that because it sounds so empowering and powerful, and kind of talk us through it.
Well, I guess we all start our journey at very early age, but we don't necessarily wake up at a very early age to recognize and to be aware of where we're going. So some of us, like me, experience things later in life and open up later. So for me, it happened at age of 38 when I hit rock bottom. I had depression. I had baby number three. I came to New Zealand, changed countries, obviously, one big thing. We bought a new place and we decided to renovate straight away. We got a little puppy and the puppy got run over by a car as well at the same time. And all those things, you know, and our neighbors were looking at us and saying, you changed country, you got a puppy, you got a baby number three, you started renovating. What is wrong with you people? Can't you sit still? I said, no, I can't. I don't know what is sitting still. And this is going to produce results without realizing that it's going to eat us alive at the same time, you know, because you set some expectations and you aim to reach a place, but you don't understand that you have very little capacity. And you're gonna explode. So that's what happened to me. I became really depressed, and because this is not me, and I've never had anxiety and depression, I was wondering what's going on. That can't be me. That's not normal. What is in my brain? How does the brain work? So I went to the GP, and the GP prescribed antidepressants. And I said, how can you prescribe antidepressants without assessing me and my chemicals in the brain and my history? You have 15 minutes, you can't prescribe antidepressants in such a short period of time. And she said, well, you see, a lot of people take them in a busy life. I said, no, that's not a busy life, no. And I'm not taking antidepressants. I'm not depressed, really. I have no mental history of any illness. So I don't believe it. There must be something else. So I couldn't see the picture, of course, from outside because I was inside the pain. Anyway, then I went to therapy for 8 months. And the therapist was the most amazing person, who would handle me book after book. And in the books were all the answers. And basically the books were the mirror of my soul and my pain. So once I spitted everything out, it was extremely painful, but I did not take one pill. And I learned cognitive therapy, NLP therapy. And in 8 months, I never had anxiety again. And then that's the curve when I thought, if I can fix myself, thinking that that's the last day of my life, but I still get up and motivate and talk and plant affirmations into my mind, everyone can do it. So that's how it started. And I just wanted to spread it everywhere, you know, and whoever came and said, I've got anxiety or panic attack, I said, where does it come from? How long it's been going on? What's the trigger? Do you know? So I started those questions, but people don't feel comfortable. They think they've given authority to the anxiety and panic attacks to exist in their lives. Mm. So unfortunately, you can't help those who don't want to help themselves.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time people, because I deal with people like this all the time as well, and it's shameful and they're embarrassed and they don't necessarily want to move away from feeling good. Like they don't want to feel good because feeling crap has become so familiar that that's how they know how to exist, right? And what I love is that you were empowered enough to know, actually, this is not what's wrong with me, and I need to go deeper to really understand. And so you studied to be a life coach, which I truly believe one of the things you are here to do is raise the collective consciousness to the planet, right? To that heart, to that love. So I'm so proud of you. Where do you think that passion and desire really truly came from to serve in this great way? I mean, there must be other people, you know, potentially some of the listeners who are tuning into this episode who also feel like they have a calling, but they don't even know where to start.
Yeah, and I hear you. I had that passion from the moment I was born, and I carry it with me, and I've always seen it in me, and I couldn't believe why others don't jump up to the sky when they're very excited, when something happens to them, or when a person they look up to makes them happy, and it's an explosion from inside. So I always had that, but I've been fascinated with humans and their way of thinking from day one, pretty much. I really wanted to understand the people who even came at home when I was growing up, because my grandfather was a politician. So there were so many people coming. And I wanted to understand how they think, why they ask me this question, what is it? Do they live like us? Do they have a different life? You know, I wanted to know everything about them And then I started working with children for 25 years. So basically, it was more like educating the parents of the children to raise their children. And that made me even more bucked somewhere inside to say, oh my God, it's fascinating. They're just different, but that doesn't mean that they cannot achieve great results and be great parents at the same time. And I couldn't believe why I was authorized as a 24-year-old to enter a very professional family and very successful family, very intellectual family, to help them and educate them who and what gave me the right. But I didn't look at it that way. I was just very respectful to who they were. But at the same time, I would give my ideas depending on what the needs of the children were. Because I think we either can read people and their emotions and feelings and we become compassionate, or we can't by blocking ourselves, because everybody can at the end of the day, you know? So that's part of the journey. That's part of the enthusiasm, if you want to put it that way.
And I feel like one of the things that you mentioned before, and I think this is where a lot of people kind of kick themselves in the butt, really, in terms of life, is you are someone who talks about sitting in the pain rather than running away from it, right? Can you share some insight with us as to why we are better off dealing with the pain, even if it gets really uncomfortable to do so?
Yes, I can. And that's one part of what I'm trying to teach and guide others with, the observation. When you observe yourself, when you observe who you are in different situations, you observe your pain, you observe your fears, you observe the negative thoughts, but you don't have to necessarily become part of them. You can just park them in a little cloud in your head and say, it's okay, I'm watching you. So what happens? Most people like to watch their pain from outside, but never be part of it, never take responsibility for who they are, which means they never take the conversation, which is very painful and tough. If they do take the conversation, they do it with a friend, with the wrong person, instead of going to the person who caused the pain or who they feel pain towards, you know? So you have to address your pain at the right place, right situation, right person first. Then you have to be brave enough, I guess, to sit with it and say, it's very painful. Take me. Take as much as you like from me. I'm aware. I feel you. I'm sitting with it. I'm going to cry for days. I'm going to talk about it more and more and more until I feel it, that it's going, it's vanishing. So basically you allow space for some beauty and some new things to grow inside you. You are like flowering, but in order to flower, there must be space, you know, the mud has to go, the old leaves have to fall off in order for the new ones to come. So that's the magic, I think. Sit and feel. And I had an experience every time I go to my homeopathic lady, I know what's going to happen to me. She starts, what did you dream of? How are you feeling at this moment of your life? And I said, okay, you're going to get everything uncomfortable now out at the table. I put it out there and she said, yeah, I know you're very aware. I know you know everything, but you've parked them somewhere. Can you now feel them? Can you say what exactly that feels? Where does it feel? How long it's been there? And it's magical, because more you get it out of you, more you allow the healing process to start, you know?
And the more it frees you, right? And it no longer becomes the thing that drives your life.
No. No, exactly. Exactly. It's power, but power in a good way, you know?
And it's like, we mustn't be afraid to heal, right? And, you know, I always kind of explain the Shrek analogy when Donkey talks to Shrek about being an onion. And, you know, it's like, that's what it is. It's like, you'll start peeling the layers. And yeah, once you get to the real core of things, of who you truly are, you are going to have to do a lot of healing along the way. And that's part of it, because when you heal, you grow. And then that's when you expand and you become so much more connected to your truth, right? And I love that, sitting with the pain, and so that it no longer runs you.
The only thing is that people don't believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel when they're in darkness. That's why they don't allow to sit in the pain. They run away from it and say, I've got to get out of here. I have to be better. I have to move to a better situation. You see what happens, you know? They don't want to see the darkness. And from the darkness comes the light. There's no other way. But if you know that, because you know, you've been there too, I'm sure, you know.
Oh, I have been there a gazillion times.
Yeah, well, there you go. So
and
when
I'm sure I will be there many more times too.
Do you know, when you said that, there was a guest in our house a couple of years ago, a French guy, very good friend of my husband's. He came for 3 weeks and he said that he's got everything he ever dreamed of. And before he left, he said, I really want a little bit of risk, a little bit of pain so I can grow again. I said, oh my God, I can't believe you said it. So there you go.
We're never done. As long as we are still breathing, there is still so much for us to experience. And I want to ask you this thing, because I know you talk a lot about this as well, and it's about habits, right? And these habits in our lives either make or break us. It's like the pain. The pain is either going to keep you in prison or it's going to liberate you, right? So what are some habits that have created a positive change in your life that maybe we could start adapting to?
It's an interesting one. So when I talk about habits, I mean also beliefs, because they go hand by hand with that. They're your personalities, those habits. Well, I'm sure you and everybody else have habits they don't like. One of the habits I didn't like, I'll give you an example, is at 8 o'clock in the morning when you have to rush for school, I used to yell and I used to become somebody else. So instead of going to each child, I've got 3 children, instead of going to each of them and saying, can you please put your shoes on? Can you please brush your teeth? Can you please put your jacket on? I would yell from the door. Hey, you, can you do that? Hey, you, can you? They stopped hearing me. So nothing would get done. I will yell even more. By the time I drop them off at school, I'm mad. My energy for the day is gone. So I'll come back and say, what happened? I miss those kids. Why did I send them with that attitude instead of reversing it? Who do I want to be in that situation? How can I change that habit? So I had to sit, meditate, and manifest the new person that has to arrive at 8 o'clock in the morning. And when that happened, my kids were in shock. One of them was looking at me and going, what are you doing here? Why are you looking at me how I'm putting my shoes on? I said, because I want to make sure you're going to put them on now and then we can go. Well, I'm putting them on, can't you see? I said, yes, I'm waiting. So for them, something shifted as well, because you're changing. You're not that crazy old mother that's constantly yelling and nagging, you know? So that's a habit I wanted to change. Everybody has a habit they want to change.
I have to say, Adriana, that is one of my habits too. I have 3 kids. Trying to get out the door with 3 children is an Olympic sport, I think.
Well, I believe, like Jody Spencer talks about the changing habit as well, is that when you don't give authority to old habits and tell your body, I'm the boss, I own you, I own my thoughts and actions, now I'm going to act like this, I'm not going to react. So this is the time when you start changing. But it takes time. It doesn't take 1 or 2 times. It takes 30 to 50 times. So people have to be prepared for consistency at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, we live in such a world where we want things now. We want the life hack. We want the quick fix. We want the magic pill. And unfortunately, that's not how it works. You have to show up. You have to do the work. You have to be consistent. I love that you said that. You know, it's not just saying one affirmation and you're done. You know, you've miraculously changed. Even though I do believe in quantum physics, that we can change things super quickly, I also do believe that we have to train our minds to think and act a different way. And that does take a little bit of a settling in period. So consistency, and I love that you said that. And I also want to ask you, you kind of already brought this into it, but why do you think it's important that we observe ourselves and see what beliefs are shaping how we manifest, and how can we change that if we're manifesting what we don't really want?
Well, I think the observer is the one who gives you the authority to act from a good place. But if you don't become the observer of yourself, you don't give authority to that soul inside you, basically, to push a button and change the scenario for you. That's why you can't get out of these cycles that keep repeating. So the observer is the key. This is how you learn who you are, and this is how you start manifesting who you actually want to be. So he's a key factor in everybody's life, you know? A lot of people manifest, but they don't manifest with the whole body emotion feeling, and, you know, they're not connected with themselves. They sit and say, can I win the lotto? Can I win the lotto? I won the lotto. Oh my God, it's great. It's great. Okay, I've got to go now. And they go on the street and they act like the same person they've been 2 minutes ago before they manifested. So you have to act like you've won the lotto. You have to act like you have the authority and the power to be you. And you have to visualize it, not just with your eyes and sitting there for 5 minutes, but you have to carry it for the next 24 hours, for the next 2 weeks, for the rest of your life, basically. The change has arrived in your life, you know?
And you've got to feel it. I always think, you know, visualization is a really important part of manifesting, but you've also got to feel, like you've got to visualize it with your whole body as well. And, you know, I say to people who, because I always get asked, right, what's the winning lotto numbers? I'm like, dude, I have no idea, right? It doesn't work that way. But what we can do is, a lot of people are like, I'd like $1 million, right? But how would you spend that $1 million? Why should the universe give you that $1 million? What are you going to do with it? Do you actually know the amount you truly need? Maybe you only need 800,000, or actually maybe you need 1.5. Until you've directed that visualization and that feeling of what you're actually going to do with it, or how being this person, you know, what you do to the world, you know, all of those things, then you can't just sit there for like you said, 5 minutes and visualize it and then go and be exactly that angry person that's already late, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, that's why it's very important to find your why. And that's from the why it's going to come the vision. When you have a vision, you have purpose, you have meaning, you have goals, you have something to chase for the rest of your life. And people say, yeah, but I've got that goal, I'll reach it, and then I'm done. No, you're not done. Because if you're passionate about that goal, you're going to give birth to another goal on the process of reaching that goal. And that's how you evolve until you're gone out of this planet, you know?
Amen, sister. And then what's probably happening is you're setting yourself up for your next life and carrying on with part of that mission. And that's what I love, right? I want to also kind of dive in, because a lot of the beliefs that we have sometimes aren't even our belief system. They're ones that have been passed on from our parents or society or religion or whoever. Mm-hmm. How can we stop giving power to beliefs that aren't really what's in our Garden of Eden?
Well, awareness is the first thing, probably. Waking up to your authentic self. We all hold something. We are unique. And I believe that if we all recognize what gift we hold, there'll be only equality and unity in the world. Because everybody is different. And there's no competition when you use your gift. Because you're different from me. My neighbor is different from me and you, you know? So we just bring something to it. We connect, we grow together, we embrace what we carry inside. And it can only be beauty, 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 and more of it, you know?
I so love that. I want to ask you something a little bit different, right? If you could have a conversation with anybody that has walked the planet, whether they be a fictional or a true person, right? Who would that be and why?
That's a very deep and a very long answer, but I will do my best to go short. So I'm not a religious person. I believe in the universe and in the divine and what we carry in ourselves. And whatever that's for everybody, I still respect it. If it's religion, if it's universal, whatever it is, I am respecting it. But I'm going to say the name Jesus, because for me, Jesus lived at times where things were possible, when the human consciousness was much higher and there was more love and compassion than exists in this world now. This is what we are lacking. Also, he was in touch with those spirits on the other side. He was in touch with his own soul mission. He could speak to their that higher self of him. So he can basically access the book of life and knew exactly what he had to do. If we can all do the same, if we can learn from him and the people around him living at these times, isn't that magical? How much we're going to evolve, how much beauty, how much divine around us it will be. So I would love to talk to him and ask him everything that he experienced in previous lives, in future lives that he's going to go, and where is he going as well, because he knew all of it. In the healing process as well, I believe we all can heal, but we lost the ability through time, and we will get it back eventually. So that's another thing that bugs me quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the higher consciousness that he was holding, the five-dimensional consciousness, and also the humans at the time, they had simple life, but they were united by that love and healing and seeing. They have telepathy as well at the time, you know? So magical for me.
Yeah, such an interesting time, right? And I know that you have been in the room where I have one of my guides is John the Baptist, right? Mm. And so when I have a few people who want to talk to Jesus who I've talked to on the podcast, which is amazing. And then I always say, one of my spirit guides is John the Baptist. But you've actually been in the room where I have allowed him to just pass on messages through me. And, you know, I love his connection with how much he saw Jesus as someone who came here to remind us of who we truly are. And I think, you know, that is what Jesus's role was, hey, I'm the mirror. You can heal yourself. You are worthy of more. You are here to create. And he was able to show that to people. And of course, you know, when you allow others to be powerful, well, we got to shut you down, right? So I think it's really interesting. And I totally agree that he must have been vibrating much more than 5D consciousness. But I don't know what that is, right? But as we move into this 5D energy, I agree with you. We're going to be bringing back that healing and all of those abilities that somehow have got lost over the years.
Do you think, this is my thought, obviously, but that Jesus never had ego, so he could not relate to humans that much like me and you can, but he can serve better because he didn't pick anything from humanity in a way, if you can say it in that way, you know, because he was pure soul, just wearing that body, which he didn't even use. If you think at the end, you know?
I do. I in some ways I agree. And then a part of me is like, oh, I don't know. But I do feel that he was pure unconditional love manifested in human form. And I must, you know, everything that I do in terms of my work, I'm like, he must have had some ego, but he must have learned at a very young age how to not live his life in that way and to tap into that infinite source of pure unconditional love that he was, and to be so in alignment with his mission and his ability and everything like that. So no, it's interesting. We should ask him, right? We should ask him.
Yes, you should. You can, actually. Why don't you?
I can ask John to tell us, but he's always very fond, like John the Baptist is very fond of Mary. He always talks about how Mary was such a great partner for Jesus and how incredible and powerful she was as well. So I think they were the perfect pair, the perfect couple. And I'd love to ask you, Adriana, what is your hope for humanity in the future?
Well, you started with that at the beginning. I want to bring people to the Garden of Eden. I just want to enlighten as many as I can, because if they see the light in themselves, they can see it in others, and the evil will vanish. It will go. It will be pure humans with pure intentions and a beautiful earth to accommodate all this humanity.
What a beautiful earth we do exist in. And I think sometimes we forget how abundant and bountiful and just in perfect balance our planet is. And if we look always to nature as our guide, we can see that things manifest in absolute ease and flow and harmony and beauty, and nature, you know, is all interconnected. And I love that. I really hope, you know, I'm holding the intention that we all rise with love and are able to exist in this beautiful Garden of Eden.
I love what you're doing, spreading all that love, because it's contagious at the end of the day. It has to come back in a good way. You're seeding all of that, yeah, through your interviews, through your good intentions, and you're helping others. So it's absolutely stunning. We should all be doing it, but a lot of people, as you said, don't know how to do it. So why don't we just ask them the right questions so they can find a way of achieving what they're holding?
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you. It's amazing for being part of your interview, but not only that, it's amazing to explore the way you act and think and give, because as I said at the beginning, everybody's different and we'll achieve different results, but at the end, the result is one.
That's right. The result is that oneness, that love, that, you know, absolute compassion for each other. And yeah. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to want to connect with you. Now, I'm going to link it up anyway, but tell people where you hang out, where they can find you, where they can start working with you, all of that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I have an Instagram and a Facebook page, and it's called Big Little Talks with Adri. And of course, they can find all my information on those two pages, and they can either message me or call me. And I do private sessions of coaching, and I always give discounts to the first and second sessions, sometimes depending on the financial situation and people. And I really love giving free sessions, at least one or two free sessions a week, because I think whoever is in need, they shouldn't be looking only through the financial side and saying, I can't afford it, but I really want to go. No, you can go. And that's why we're here, to help each other and to give a hand to someone in a struggle, you know? So these are the ways, yeah. And I'm here, I'm based in Central Auckland, and happy to do either Zoom, FaceTime, or in-person meetings, yeah.
And you are just such a beautiful person. I'm so honored that we've connected and somehow the universe has brought us to cross paths. And I just love watching you just grow into your leadership, because I really believe you're here to be a leader and to just help humanity with the embodiment of that Garden of Eden. So it's pure joy to watch you.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it, because I know it comes from a very, very good place. I am really touched. But what I wanted to say, because you said leadership, this word, it's always been bothering me, because I've always seen the word as power, greediness, you know? Until recently, probably a year ago, I realized that leadership is not about power. It's not about money. It's not about suppressing others so you can cherish your goals and you're feeding your ego, basically, at the end of the day. But leadership can be delivered by guiding others, by asking them, what are they craving in life? What is that they're attracted in life to? You know, so suddenly something has given me authority to ask those questions, and I couldn't understand it. And when you said, you are supposed to be a leader, and I said, no, that's a nasty word. Leader, no, nobody wants to be a leader. I don't want that. But that's an old perception as well that's been put in our minds from society and from schools and just environment in a way, yeah?
Yeah, I kind of look at as leadership as impact as well, the impact that you're able to create when you step into leading from your authenticity.
Yeah, there's no mistakes then, because everyone can lead in their own way. Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. Oh, my love. This has just been such a pleasure. I thank you so much for sharing so much wisdom with us. I feel really empowered. I feel ready to sit with pain a little bit more and heal that, because we've all got pain that we need to kind of work through and to keep visualizing. And so I kind of want to say to everybody, thank you for joining Adriana and myself. We, of course, encourage you to dream big and to never hold back on your desires. You know, keep visualizing what you want and allow yourself to daydream as you create your most incredible life. So Adriana, thank you so much for being here, for being the light, for being this incredible leader that is serving the greater good of humanity. I just love you.
Thank you, Melissa. It's absolutely mutual. Thank you so much for including me in your series.
I really appreciate it.
And I know the journey will continue. We'll have a lot of chats and giggles on the way.
I love it and I look forward to it. So everybody, make sure that you share this episode with those that you feel need to hear this message. Remember to leave a review. And of course, as you embark on your journey to rise with love, the most wonderful things will unfold. So everyone, peace, love, and blessings. Until next time, lots of love, Melissa.